Welcome to the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Thorn.
And today we're going to talk about Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time, obviously. So, Thorn, how has your week been so far? I know it's kind of early in the week, but this is kind of the part where I'm told by experienced podcasters we're supposed to banter. So here's your chance. Banter with me.
We've done a lot of bantering before the episode.
But yes, but you know, that's for patrons only. You know,
if you want to hear our before show banter.
Let's just say if you want to hear Greg do impressions of pro wrestlers, please become a patron, and you will. So with that being said, how's your week going so far?
What have I done? I picked up my daughter last Thursday.
What have you done? Nothing. Well, it is Tuesday.
Yeah, well, no, because we record on Tuesday. Well, actually, today's Monday.
Oh, God, you're right. My week is all screwed up because everyone is probably either going to see or have seen Endgame by this point. So I have no shame in saying that I'm recording this one night early because my brother wants to go see Endgame. I saw it Saturday night, but he has yet to go see it. I loved it so much, I'm going to go see it again. And I feel like anyone who's seen it so far would also feel that way. Thorn doesn't share the enthusiasm because Thorn doesn't like superhero movies. So, you know.
I don't mind them.
Don't mind. Listen to the pre-show discussion for more on this. So, anyway, today, Thorn, I believe we're talking about The Fires of Heaven, are we not?
Yes, it's my fourth favorite book.
And it's my eighth.
If you listen to that.
Yeah, I think now the rest of the book reviews are just going to be a callback to the ranking list for both of us. So it's Thorn's number four. It's my number eight.
So we're probably going to fight about it.
We didn't fight about Shadow Rising when, you know, I just made the really big push that was my absolute favorite book. And, you know, I know I'm correct, but still in all, we didn't really fight over that.
I kind of put those next to each other, though. You ranked it number one. I ranked it number two.
Okay, all right, that's fair. But still, 4 to 8 out of 15.
And I think you were also pretty pleased that I changed my Towers of Midnight ranking.
Oh, I'm entirely pleased. I am entirely pleased. Like,
you were fine with not arguing me on book two.
Well, I'll just put it to you this way. I'm just glad I got you to change your mind on something. Well, like we said before just a second ago, we're going to be begin our discussion of The Fires of Heaven tonight. So, Thorn, what do our audience members need to know?
Wait, what?
This is your setup for spoiler warning. Come on, work with me here.
I wasn't expecting that. Okay. This episode will contain spoilers for The Wheel of Time up to and including The Fires of Heaven. If you have not finished reading The Fires of Heaven, then stop listening now or you will be in danger of being spoiled.
Now, I have to say, and you better not edit this out, Thorn, that Thorn is now 1 for 3 on recording spoiler warnings without messing up on the first try. So, everyone, wherever you're sitting, begin applause, golf clap for Thorn. Everybody golf clap for Thorn. So, with that being said, so...
Snap.
Fires of, don't ask Marvel fans about snapping.
Oh, right. I know that part.
So, Fires of Heaven. Obviously, this is the fifth book in the Wheel of Time series, published by Tor, of course, and released on October 15th, 1993.
I was born in 1993.
I was born in 1990, so I was 3 years old at the time. So
that's about math six, people. 7, 8 months.
So Thorn did not yet know that there was a book in existence that she would grow up as an adult and learn to love. I was a toddler. I was pretty sure I was terrible, but even at the age of 3, my parents say I was reading, so I was getting a leg up. So this is actually the first novel in the series to not involve an appearance by each of the 3 Ta'veren from the Two Rivers. Because Perrin is largely absent from this book. As far as the makeup of the book goes, The Fires of Heaven consists of a prologue, like most of the Wheel of Time books, and it's got 56 chapters. And Thorn, how about we do a quick POV breakdown from the characters?
Okay, so we've got Rand, who is the mainish character in the book at 29.9%. I say mainish because Nynaeve is right behind him at 29.6.
So it's neck and neck, pretty much. We're looking at, what, 0.3%?
Yeah, it's not very, very much. It's pretty much split up between the two of them.
Now, looks like just kind of a cursory glance, we've got at least in the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like the top 10 to 15 characters, the majority of them look to be women, which for fans of the series, that's not at all surprising.
Wait, what?
Well, I'm just looking at like the POV and who holds the most, the biggest POV, and a lot of them are female characters.
We've got Nynaeve, Egwene, then Elaine, and then Matt, and then Min and Swan, and then we get an appearance from Gareth Bryn.
And then we get more gays right after that.
Yeah, it's mostly women, though.
It's predominantly women. Like I said, you know, once you get past the first couple of books, the spread goes from male-dominated to some books female-dominated, and some books that's pretty even. With this one, if you're going through everyone that has a point of view, it's somewhat even with a female tilt. But lots of good stuff in this book. Some very important things happen in this book. And of course, between this episode and part two of this episode that we'll record next week and premiere next week, we will go through all of that. But the main characters, so she mentioned Rand at almost 30%, right at 30% of POV, followed hot on his heels by Nynaeve, and then there's a steep drop off from Nynaeve to Egwene from almost 30% to 7.5%. It's a huge drop.
Yeah, that's a pretty steep drop.
And then it just kind of slowly decreases, 7.5 for Egwene, 6.4 for Elaine, might as well say 6.5, round that up. Matt gets 6.4. And so on and so forth. So there's quite a few characters narrating, but a lot of them don't get a whole lot.
Yeah, probably not.
I think
that would
be fair to say. Now, so let's just go ahead and jump into the plot itself. So just kind of starting out from the beginning and just kind of working our way through it, like Thorne so graciously recorded just now without messing up the spoiler warning. If you haven't read through the end of The Fires of Heaven, I guess tonight, this episode, technically halfway through, but we're just going to say the end.
Yeah, I'll say the end. And then
that's exactly what I'm thinking. Is that, hey, you guys went to the end. I wasn't expecting that. You spoiled the ending for me. Well, crap. So we're definitely going to suggest that if you are reading the series and trying to listen to this podcast, we recommend you camp out on some of the other book reviews because this is not the one for you. So getting into the beginning, we start in the tower, the White Tower, obviously. Elaida is struggling to hold on to her power that she has so viciously gained and connivingly achieved last book, Shadow Rising, and her advisors are struggling to cope with the idea of Rand. So Rand's debut and his actions as the Dragon Reborn are still causing major, major shockwaves throughout Randland. I don't know what to call it. along with that, we see Potten Fain has showed up, and he is actually counseling Elaida. Now, that tell me that doesn't make a lot of sense. But he's counseling Elaida. He's actually is there, and he steals the Shatter Logoth dagger back before he gets out of the tower. He manages to get past Alviarin only by convincingly bluffing that he stands high as a Dark Friend, because as everyone knows by this point, Alviarin is a Dark Friend. But then we have a cut over to the Forsaken. Ravine is visited by Lanfear, Samael, and Grendel. They make plans to go get Rand. They're going to go get him. And then Morghais flees Gabriel, which is Ravine. Terrible. After Okay, so you guys know when she says gerbil, she means Gabriel, but I think most people know that already. Morgays flees Gerbil after he shames her in front of a bunch of people. And then she takes Leany, Talonvor, Basil Gill, and Lamguin with her. And then Brienne also comes with Lamguin. So...
Yeah, no, it doesn't really explain so who these people are.
When we do that.
Yeah, because we've got Leany, who was the nursemaid of Queen Morgays, and also of Elaine. We've got Talonvor. He was a royal guard. He is loyal to Morgays and not to Lord Gerbil. Because most, at this point, most guards are loyal to Lord Gerbil. And
that was actually part of the kind reason of twofold, why she has to wasn't flee. It? Because he got Talonvor, high up with Morgays, you know, through his, we later learn compulsion, but it's not hard to draw the, you know, read between the lines there. But then Talonvor was actually.
Talonvor is loyal to Morgays herself. He is not loyal
and
to the throne.
We actually met
he is
him in
Morgays.
Eye of the World. That was his first appearance. He was one of the ones, I think he was the one that was kind of, I don't want to say harassing Rand, but he was kind of like, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? Type of thing. And well, no, of course not.
Yeah, I don't blame him though. He's supposed to be protecting the queen.
Now,
and the queen's
old
children.
Gerbil has basically steadily been phasing out the guards that, you know, may give him trouble and been replacing them with guards and soldiers loyal to him. So Talonvor, yes, including Gareth Brynn. That was actually a big change. He got rid of him. Well, we say he did. He did it through Morgays. You know, he had Morgays' ear, was basically pulling the strings.
Yes.
Yeah, literally with a compulsion and
literally
pulling the weeds,
with
if you
compulsion.
Will. And then that was lame. And we see that Gabriel has been basically conforming the palace and everything about it around to him, especially because he basically has Morgays in his pocket. However, there's a moment where Gabriel embarrasses and kind of really puts some shame on Morgays, and it kind of wakes her up. And so she takes these important people with her.
And she, well, she goes to Leany and she basically tells Leany that she wants to escape. I don't remember exactly what she said, but she knew that there was something wrong. There was something wrong in her mind. She had the urge to go to Gerbil, but she didn't feel like that was actually her, which is what really hints that this was some heavy compulsion. And so with the help of Talonvor, they actually escape the palace, and then they go to the queen's blessing from Eye of the World, of course, where Basil Gill and Lamguin join her. And Brienne is just Lamguin's
girlfriend.
She's kind
of off the ride.
So
she's
just
like, all right,
drinks.
If you're leaving, I'm leaving too. Let's go. So lots of things happening there. You know, and that's going to shape the things to come, obviously, because, you know, that's how Robert Jordan writes. And so moving through that, though, we cut back over to Ruidion, where we see Rand, and he's actually living under the roof of the Maidens. And that's a pretty big deal, because he's the first man that's ever been allowed to live under the roof of the Maidens.
The reason that he's allowed to is because he's the son of a maiden. Because his mother, it was a Wetlander who had crossed the Dragon Wall and got adopted by the Aiel, and who became a Maiden of the Spear before she crossed the Dragon Wall again and gave birth to Rand
now,
on Dragonmount.
We see him there, and then we're also seeing they're getting ready to leave, essentially, and go back across the Dragon Wall, and Moraine is loading up all the different Teron Greal that she found into from Ruidion onto a couple of wagons. You know, all the stuff she's basically claiming for the Aes Sedai, you know, basically taking it from the Aiel. And then Rand is getting together, and he is discussing their different plans and tactics and their next step with the various clan chiefs. They all get together and discuss what their next move is. Now, what's...
Yes.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
And this is... Oh, sorry. I was going to say, this is where we first hear about the bleakness, which is where Aiel... it was in my head and then it went away. Gaishine, start refusing to take off their robes whenever they've reached the year and a day. And then some people are leaving their clans to join the Shido.
Which was going to play heavily into what we're going to be talking about here over the next several minutes, because a big part, especially at the beginning of the Fires of Heaven, has to do with the Shido. Now, the bleakness is a pretty big deal, because after this huge revelation from Rand through his trip through Ruidian, he exposes this information to all the Aiel. We talked about it pretty extensively in our Shadow Rising review. But basically, for those who may have forgotten, he basically says, look, you guys used to not be warriors, you used to be tinkers. And they, it crushed a bunch of people, made them mad, whatever. And
He didn't say that they shouldn't be warriors.
Right, he just told them, hey, you used to be, this is what you used to be. He didn't really put any commentary on it. He just revealed the facts and let the facts do their own work on the Aiel.
Yes, because he had to prove that he was actually the Karakarn, and the only way to prove that he had gone through Meridian.
But this is having its intended effect from prophecy, where it says that he would basically break the Aiel. A lot of Aiel are... I may be remembering part of this wrong, and part of this is actually just saying what you just said, but a lot of the Gaishine, which, as everyone knows, are basically servant Aiel. They were, taken, defeated. There's various ways to become a Gaishine, but basically it's almost a form of, I don't want to say punishment, but kind of. It's a way to regain honor.
It's a way to regain honor. I wouldn't consider it a punishment, because Gaishine are not treated like, say, slaves. But a Gaishine is supposed to serve the person that they owe toe to. So it could be anything. It could be if you're in a battle and somebody touches you with their bare hand without using a weapon, then that's considered... That gives the person who is touched a lot of toe, and it gains the person who did the touching a lot of G.
For more on Peggy Toe, very please sexual. Keep following the Black Tower podcast, because I got a feeling we're going to have a whole episode on this, because it's highly confusing. We really should.
Yes, true. I think we should talk about it more. But that's a way that somebody might become Gaishine. They might demand to be made. Right. They usually demand to be made Gaishine. Because it is,
but now due to the facts that have been revealed by Rand, it is no longer considered that. So a lot of Gaishine are saying, no, we were going to refuse to pick up a weapon, because they kind of have this affinity toward their origins, because they're thinking in order to be a...
Well, actually, Gaishine never pick up weapons. Gaishine are not supposed to pick up weapons, but what it is that usually a Gaishine serves for, I think, a year and a day, and then they get to go home and go back to being normal. But some of them are refusing to take off the white and are demanding to stay Gaishine. Or basically, they're not demanding it. They're
just doing it. They're like, hey, you can go home. And they're like, well, I'm not going home. Well, you can go home. Well, I'm not going home. Here's your tea. No, I'm going to go home. Well, I'm a Gaishine. Here's your tea. You're like, stop. Like, let's go home. No. So it's kind of, it's a big deal for the Aiel. Like a big, big, big deal that this is happening. So this is what they're referring to as the bleakness.
Yes.
So coming back to Rand, after he's discussing plans with the clan chiefs and going over everything and trying to figure out, which way to go next, what to do. Egwene and Moraine, they kind of double team him, gang up on him a little bit. They're both kind of stop giggling. They're both kind of getting at him, you know, just kind of saying, hey, you should do this, you should do this, don't do this, don't do that. And then about the time they're kind of really lighting into him, he starts having some of Luz Theron's memories. So this is really when we start seeing Rand having the memories and the voices, the voice of Luz Theron. It starts out as kind of scattered memories that come at really inopportune times, you know, might be voices.
Do you think that maybe going into Ruidian and going into the Tirangrial could have,
you know, I think it's possible. Caused but I also that to think, happen? To me, kind of looking over the whole series, and without spoiling anything past Fires of Heaven, of course, but kind of looking over the whole series, or even looking up to the events of Fires of Heaven, I kind of think it was just kind of part and parcel of being the dragon reborn. Because you have this whole theme of reincarnation, which is basically the belief that you're the same. It's essentially the same person being reincarnated in different, you know, through different people, different ways. So there's.
That's why I think the Tirangrial could have caused it, because whenever he went through the Tirangrial, he was seeing the memories of his past lives.
His ancestors.
Not his past lives, but his bloodlines. And that gave the place that Luz Theron's memories.
It could also be that because he's made a if you really look at what's happened between really Eye of the World, but definitely Great Hunt through to the beginning of the Fires of Heaven, he has taken a substantial leap in fulfilling prophecy. It's like the rate at which he's fulfilling them. I mean, he has cleared a lot of ground, and I want to think that also, I mean, it could be all of it. It could all play in together about, you know, his development, his, you know, all of these things. But it could be two things primarily. One, it could just be the fact that as he progressively fulfills more prophecies, he is becoming more the Dragon Reborn. That is a possibility. And then I think another possibility is simply that, you know, you've got the taint on Sidene, and it brings all kinds of stuff. And it actually, you know, we kind of get a little better look at this later. We really only have mentions of it so far in the series right now, but you find out that the madness kind of manifests itself to these men who can channel in different ways, and Rand is no exception. So to me, part of it could be the madness. Mixed in with the Tavirin, mixed in with the prophecies, mixed in with the reincarnation, and it's just a big cocktail of, oh my God, what is this? Like, that is
valid, but we do know that Rand's memories and of Luz Theron,
just because it's real. Madness doesn't necessarily mean it's not real. It's just something that's used against that person. Like, it could be. Like, because some, I mean, let's, you know, we can say it like this without really spoiling anything past the books. But, you know, a person can be mad, but they can be ranting about things that might be true, but it's heightened by like paranoia and suspicion and things like that. And when Luz Theron really kicks up in Rand's head, you see that. You see a lot of that. Most of it's Rand trying to keep himself together. But if you really pay attention to what's going on with Rand, especially during these Luz Theron memory and voice moments. It's the battle inside of him is really, really being displayed in those moments. The tug of war, if you will. And I really...
Yeah, no, I agree.
Right, I was just elaborating a little more.
But I know, but I feel like if the memories were purely just madness, that they wouldn't be as real and they wouldn't be useful. I feel like there has to be some kind of catalyst that made those memories come to him. And what makes most sense is
the Tirangrial still makes a lot of sense. He's experiencing memories. I wouldn't say it's not. I just think that maybe it's exactly that, but maybe we're just emphasizing it a little differently, because I think what it is the Tirangrial primarily served as the catalyst to make that happen, but it was because he was to that point. It could have been if he wasn't to that point coming through Ruidian or whatever, that something else may have caused it. But I think you're onto it. I think a lot of things are playing into it, but really, truthfully, and again, this isn't a spoiler, we never really quite know what necessarily triggered it. We just know it begins happening, and the last major thing to happen to Rand in terms of being the Dragon Reborn before it starts happening was his passage through Rhydion and his revealing it as the Karakarn and everything that happened in the Shadow Rising, and then this stuff starts to happen in Fires of Heaven. So it's a lot of stuff coming down.
Yeah, that's why I think right. That it could be and caused
it's a,
by
it's a pretty
slightly.
Valid point. Talking about Moraine, you know, because we were talking about how she was kind of, you know, getting at Rand and trying to get him to do these things and whatnot. She actually finds another one of the seals on the Dark One's prism. And she sees that it's extremely fragile. So this is something that's really put in the reader's consciousness now, is that these seals are a very big deal.
Yeah. And like at this point, I think this is whenever they can literally like peel pieces off of these seals. Mm-hmm. And these seals are made of something called Quendiar, which is
and
supposed
yet,
to be
is,
completely
fragile,
unbreakable.
Like a small little piece of shale.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a piece of porcelain. Or no, even worse than porcelain, because there's a part where I believe Moraine like just shaves off like pieces
right.
just to show
so
how fragile
this is,
it is.
This is a pretty big deal because pretty much all the seals they have found are like this, and they've had to very much protect them to keep them from breaking. And it really, to me, when I see
yes.
the fragility of the seals, it just kind of shows me or showed me how fast things are really progressing and how desperate the situation already is, even this early in the series. Now, if you were, you know, reading The Fires of Heaven when it was brand new, so you're kind of old, I'm just kidding, then...
Actually, I think it'd be interesting to invite somebody on the show who read them from the beginning.
Right.
Like,
and I would enjoy that
out.
As well. But I think, though, that for people who are reading this for the first time, way back when this was the newest book and it was the only book that was left, it really puts it in your head that the end could come at pretty much any time. Because when I sat down and read through all the books, with all the books having been written, you know, I just read them this just several months ago. And, but at the, in every single book, even though I knew which book it ended in, I still felt like, well, he could have really took a turn at the end of this book and ended it. Like he really could have, the way he just kind of kept saying, okay, well, it's around the corner. It's around the corner. It's around the corner. Even this early on in the book, he's showing us things that, oh man, things are really ramping up.
When I started reading these books, I think up to Knife of Dreams.
Yeah, like I said, I actually literally read most of them this past year and then finished in the beginning of this year. And, you know, I had all 15. So, you know, I knew it was like, okay, Memory of Light, I see you. You know, I'm coming for you. And then it beat me up. But anyway, listen to the last episode about my thoughts on A Memory of Light. It's her favorite. It's my
because it's my favorite.
Number four. Anyway, so we see another one of the seals, very fragile. Now Matt's doing a Matt thing. He picks up a Shido woman of all.
Oh yeah,
the Aiel women he could have picked up. He picked up a Shido woman named Melindra.
Yes, and of course the first thing that Matt asks Melindra is, does the Daughter of Nine Moons mean anything to you? And that becomes Matt's catchphrase as he
like,
flirts with
hey,
women
baby,
from
wanna
here
drink?
On
Did
out.
I call you the Daughter of the Nine Moons? No? Okay, just checking. And that's basically Matt's MO for a while. But she actually left the Shido to become a Maiden of the Spear.
Well, she was a Maiden of the Spear. She just chose to stay with the main force of the Maidens rather than
right,
following the Shido.
Right, so she's actually coming to the
disagree
I guess
with
you could
Shido.
Say the Fardarizmai proper instead of the ones that are just kind of, you know, lumped in or linked in with the Shido.
Yes, because the way that the Aiel is a lot. The Aiel is a lot. I think we should do an entire
episode. Well, we had to do that for Sean Chan, on we're just definitely going to do it for culture. The Aiel.
But
good Lord.
We might have to do a three-part episode. So
part one, Aiel, plans. Just part two, so much information on them. Part three, we don't have Che-Ito.
So you've got the way that they're set up, and everybody has their clans and their sept, but there's also societies, and the Maidens of the Spear are a society, and they are made up of women right. of different septs and different clans. So that's the easiest way to explain
join a society. It's basically what she did.
Yes, to stay with their society, and just she didn't agree with Culloden and chose to stay with their society.
Maidens and all of that. If I'm saying this wrong, I'm sorry, but Isindra is a she was a maiden, was she not? She was just a
no, she wasn't. What she was
yeah, that's right. Women I couldn't remember she was, I don't caravan. Think she's a maiden. Well, she is really getting under Avienda and the other maiden's skin because she's constantly trying to sleep with Rand. She's like, yo, hey, Kara Karn, I see you, sweetie. And the other women are like, seriously, quit.
Yeah, and she can't really get in because Rand is like, I think, on one of the upper floors of this building. And the maidens are right. all on the floors below him. Like, what happened was essentially Rand chose a building to stay in, and the maidens just kind of moved in. And if he was going to try to move to a different building, they were going to move into that building. So pretty he had much. No choice.
They basically become his, I don't know, I was going to say entourage?
Big sisters?
But yeah, kind of. Or protective detail?
I think big sisters. I think Big Sisters works better because they're not just protecting them. They also, they're one of the few people who don't give a shit that he's the Kara Karn or the Dragon Reborn or anything. They're like, you're the son of a maiden.
I always
like
that.
They're like, you're going to act
That
right.
was always great. It's like, hey, you got your big head. You're just a stupid little kid. So, do the thing you do. Like, we're here.
I really do think that they think of him as family because they're like, you're the son of the maiden. You're the only son of right. the maiden to ever rejoin the maidens. And they put this high honor on Rand because they really think of him as part of them. Even though Rand's mother was not born Aiel, they still considered her Aiel. Plus, Rand was also the son of an Aiel man. But I think it was really because his mother was a Maiden of the Spear, and they considered her.
One other thing we kind of see here is Moraine get into an argument with the Wise Ones. Go figure about Rand's plans to get them out of the waste, to take everyone out and leave and go. But not long after we see this little bit of disagreement, we actually see that Rand and the Aiel, they get attacked by Shadowspawn, and this includes Darkhounds, and these things are nasty.
One of the Darkhounds gets a hold of Matt and drools
Which, interestingly enough, over him. And this is where we learn some good information about Balefire, because Rand uses Balefire to kill the Darkhounds, and when he kills a Darkhound that was doing those things to Matt, was getting all over him, slobbering all over him, whatever, and if you know anything about Darkhounds, you know that if that happens, you're basically done.
Yes, because Darkhound saliva is essentially like kind of a cross between a poison right. and an acid.
It's nasty. Yeah, it's nasty stuff. Like it's extremely not going to. It's not going. It's not good for the skin. So we see.
But yeah, sorry. Whenever Ran balefires a dark hound, Matt goes from having slobber all over his arm.
I think this is where Moraine. I'm trying to remember if this is where Moraine tells him or what. But she heals Matt because he's still. Yeah, she tries to heal Matt. He has to take his amulet off that, you know, protects him from weaves and protects him from the one power that he got.
I think this is when we first find out what the amulet actually does, because before he just had it.
I'm sorry, I forgot where we were.
Yelling away.
Anyway, so Moraine heals Matt after he removes his amulet, and then she pretty much lights into Ran about how dangerous Balefire is. So Ran's kind of like, okay, I'm not going to use it unless we really have to. I'm just not going to do it. But Ran kind of turns the situation to his advantage, because here he kind of basically, all the trust between him and Moraine is just so strained, it's pretty much gone. It's just kind of broken down. And it's gotten so low that in order for Moraine to make sure that she's still on mission, keeping, you know, Ran the Dragon Reborn on his path, she actually swears to obey Rand and to not to try and manipulate him, which I don't know how successful that second part is, but the first part was that was a pretty big deal. And, you know, this is something that is unheard of for an Aes Sedai to swear to obey anyone, you know, especially if they were not, you know, Amarlin's Seat or the Sitters. Right.
Even the Amarlin
fealty among the Aes Sedai. There's a hierarchy. There is a structure, but there's no, you don't swear fealty to the Amarlin's Seat. You just, you know.
Although Moraine's pretty powerful in her own right. I mean, I think the only people currently in the tower who are stronger than her or equal to her are probably just Swan. Anymore,
I get what you mean. She.
Oh yeah, good point. Good point. She's already been stilled. So yeah, pretty much. If Moraine was there, she'd probably be one of, if not the most powerful Aes Sedai in the tower.
I definitely agree with that. Now, but that's why it's a pretty big deal that she's swearing to obey Ran, because this is such a, you know, part of you wants to be like, Ran, come on, dude, don't be like that. But at the same time, it just shows Moraine's commitment to her mission. She's a true blue to the core, you know, going after the goal and the cause at the cost of just about everything, if not everything. And so we see this happen, and then right after that happens, Lanfear shows up to Ran. She's doing her Lanfear thing, calling him Luz Theron and all of that annoying stuff. She really got on my nerves with that. I'm just being honest. Like, dude is definitely Rand Althor, not Luz Theron.
She's absolutely obsessed with Luz Theron, and she doesn't seem to understand that.
See, Lanfear, for all her forsakenness, is still kind of, which all the Forsaken are kind of out to achieve their own ends, but she's a little more of a loose cannon in that she's so obsessed with Luz Theron, i.e. Rand, that she from time to time gives Rand helpful information because she's trying to win him. So in this instance, she comes around and says, hey, you know what? I know where Raveen is. Raveen is in Camelin, and he has got more gaze Trakand. So that's where you need to go next. And he's got her under his spell, literally. So that's where you need to go next. If you're looking for Raveen, you're looking for the other Forsaken, he's over there. So Rand accepts the information. I mean, he doesn't fall all over Lanfear, thank God, but he's not that dumb. But
and I'm glad that he doesn't just follow her advice right away. He
He sticks to his guns, but he considers the info. And he does consider using it, but he doesn't immediately change his plans from doing what they've been planning to do with the IEL to saying, we've got to go to Camelin. You know, like, he doesn't just take off and do something, because he still kind of knows in the back of his head, okay, she's forsaken. She could be leading me straight into a trap. I mean, she's obsessed with me, but that doesn't mean she wouldn't lead me into a trap. So, you know, we need to do what we originally planned, and then maybe work around to getting around to Camelin. But we need to go where we're going first. So we find out next that the Shido are getting out of the way, so they're leaving, and Rand pretty much follows after them. So he's taking the rest of the Aiel, but the other large chunk of the Aiels, quite a lot of the Aiel, because I do believe some stayed behind in the waste, but a substantial number of Aiel with him to go after the Shido. They run up on another Trolloc attack, kind of a trend there. And then what happens is they get through the waste. They're following the Shido out of the waste. And when they get out of the waste, they see that a town has been attacked. And the survivor from the town says that this attack was a message to Rand. And this message was from Culloden, who is the leader of the Shido, the fake Kar Karn. Mr. I'm going to yell it and stamp my foot at everything. And then they learn something very disturbing to the Aiel. Well, it's disturbing, period. Culloden is taking Wetlanders as Gaishine, which is a no-no.
He's essentially taking slaves, because Wetlanders don't follow Jito. So, because a Gaishine has an option. I mean, it can be shaming to not become Gaishine if you've done something. But there is an option. You can be shamed if you want to. But Wetlanders don't follow Jito, and so they have no basis to become Gaishine.
So they find these things out after the, after discovering this town. So, you know, on the road again, on the pursuit, and Avienda gives Rand Layman's sword. So if anyone remembers Lame Layman, he was the Kyrian and king that basically started the Aiel War when he decided to take the nice, pretty huge tree that they gave him, and that was stood as a testament, right, Avendisora.
Avendisora.
Basically was a symbol of peace and understanding between the Aiel and the Kyrian, and really just kind of the Wetlanders in general. It was just kind of a general symbol, but it was in Kyrian. He decides, hey, you know what?
Actually, it was towards the Kyrianen, because remember that one memory of Rand's where they share water with some people? That was Kyrianen.
You're right. So anyway, peace between Kyrian and the Aiel. And if anyone remembers your Wheel of Time geography, Kyrian is the largest city to the farthest east. So basically, if you go any further east than Kyrian, you've hit the Dragon Wall, which, of course, the Aiel live on the other side of. So anyway, but Layman was the king that basically said, I like that tree. That's a nice tree. You know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to make a throne. I'm going to cut that sucker down. I'm going to make a throne.
Yeah, he wanted the biggest and best throne, and so he cut down the symbol of peace between the Aiel and the Kyrianen,
and just so he could have an entire fancy war chair. Was fought. It was great fun. We don't want to go into all that.
That's kind of a new spring spoiler.
So, kind of keeping to what's in this book. So Avienda actually has Layman's sword. It was something it's no spoiler that the Aiel basically came across the Dragon Wall to get Layman. I mean, we've already kind of discussed it in the series proper by this point.
Yeah.
That was kind of their point.
And it was pretty much just to kill Layman. And the sword is kind of passed between Aiel people. They don't use it because they don't use swords, but somebody will buy it, and then somebody else will buy it off of them.
So at this point, Avienda gets tired of it, et cetera.
And
Right.
Like well, she said, bought it specifically for Rand.
So she gives it to Rand to try to even out. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, because he got her a bracelet.
So that's something we didn't really touch on last time, last review, was the fact that Rand's just doing these things for and toward Avienda, not even thinking about it, and she is going ballistic trying to because she's perceiving it as toe. Like like he's bestowing stuff to her, giving stuff to her, putting her in his debt, and she's trying to fulfill toe to him, and he's like, what are you even talking about?
Actually, what it is that the bracelet that he chose to give her, he asked the maidens what a good gift for Avienda would be. They thought that he was trying to court her. So the bracelet that he gave her was basically a courting gift. So Avienda feels the need to even out her toe because she feels like she's betraying Elaine if she keeps the bracelet without giving something to Rand.
So speaking of the sword, Rand in the conversation with Avienda kind of, well, I think it's a conversation. He basically discovers that the sword itself was actually made with the power, so it's a power wrought sword. So
I think it was just by looking at it he was able to tell.
Yeah, he's kind of like, I am a channeler. I am the Dragon Reborn. Look, I feel Sidene all over this thing. Something well, similar to that.
I don't think it was so much that. It's that it was Harren marked, and he could tell that the blade wasn't dulled, and the Aiel refused to even to give the blade to Rand. Avienda had it wrapped in a blanket. That's how badly she did not want to touch the sword. And the Aiel all have kind of that same sentiment towards it. So there's no way that these Aiel people are sharpening this sword and keeping it sharp. But it is as sharp as if it was newly forged and freshly sharpened by a master smith.
Power wrought sword. So he notices all that. And he basically ditches the hilt and the scabbard because they're covered in jewels and they're useless. Which
and also ultimately like in the way.
Right, yeah. It's just gaudy. You know, it's just this gaudy hilt. I think
that's kind of the theme of Lamin. He's just so gaudy and gross.
Yeah. That it really is. I mean, who else but a guy like him would cut down the Avenosaura? I mean, you know. So yeah. I want this huge throne, and that'll
which
do.
Which is really odd for Kyrianen, because Kyrianen tend to be more subdued. They wear darker colors. They do usually have their house colors on their clothing, but they prefer darker clothing.
Right. So, in all of that, he gives this jewel-encrusted, gaudy horror mess of a hill back to Avienda, who then flips it for a profit. So it ended up getting some good juice anyway. Yeah, well, she's going to get rid of it. She's like, I'm done with this. I'm not, nope. So she unintentionally makes a huge profit off of it. But like she said, Thorn said she kind of had to get rid of it. In the process of chasing Culloden, they get attacked by Trollocs and Dark Friends again. this time, Rand's a little more forward in saying that he believes that Samael is trying to goad him into doing certain things to kind of draw him away from Kyrian.
The Dark Friends that were in the attack actually yelled for Samael and the Golden Bees, I believe it is.
Golden Bees of Ilion.
It's not just Rand believing that it's Samael reason. There's a reason to believe that it's Samael. I mean, it could be another Forsaken who just told the people to say that, but Rand has an actual reason to believe it's Samael. It's not just a guess, you know?
Right. So Rand deduces, believes, assumes that it's Samael trying to goad him because largely he has this memory from Luz Theron that that's what Samael would do in the Age of Legends. He would try to goad Luz Theron into doing certain things by sending men and attacks and things like that. That was Samael's MO. That was his strategy. Rand kind of is recalling these memories from Luz Theron, and he shares them with Asmodian, who we've not really touched on very much. But Asmodian is still in tow. No, not J.E. Tow, just kind of with them. he's still around, and when he starts hearing about these memories that Rand is having of the Age of Legends, they actually scare Asmodian. He's like, whoa, how do you know all that stuff? Like, that is freaky, man. Like, I'm not with that at all. So, you know, these memories are becoming a bigger deal as time progresses. And then the last thing we're going to mention tonight, because we've got a few other things we've got to attend to on the episode tonight, is Rand tells the clan chiefs that he will hang anyone who murders or burns anything, even in Kyrian. So he's not going to allow the Aiel to murder or burn anyone, which he was really just kind of being, he was really just trying to make sure there was no lawlessness going to happen in their wake. So he basically issues that order to the clan chiefs, and they continue their way onto Kyrian. So that's kind of where we're going to leave off tonight. We may have to do a three-parter on this one, because there's actually the notes we have are a lot, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in this book, and we were kind of able to condense the Shadow Rising down a little bit, but we may have to go into three for the Fires of Heaven, simply because we've got some additional things we want to address on the podcast. So, Thorn, what do we got next here?
So, after we're done with the Fire of Heaven's review, not exactly sure. I mean, like, we could run through the rest of it next week. Don't know at this point.
Just stay tuned.
We are going to do a Q&A after we finish the Fires of Heaven review. So it could be two episodes from now. It could be one episode from now. We'll see. But I will post whenever on Friday after this podcast is released, I will post on the Black Tower Podcast Twitter the master post for the Q&A. You can also send questions to blacktowerpodcast@gmail.com, of course, and I will write them down. If you would like to remain anonymous, please let us know. But for the most part, I think the master list of our Q&A will be on Twitter, and I will have it pinned to the top of the Black Tower Podcast Twitter.
So some of you may be listening to this podcast for one reason and one reason only.
Oh, wait. One more thing. Sorry.
Oh, you have to cut that out. Now.
I don't think that you're reading the notes.
Honestly, I'm really not.
Okay.
So you just did the Q&A, right? You just did the Q&A announcement?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now I want it.
Okay, I can. You want me to do it, or do you want to do it? You're gonna cut all this out, so.
Yeah. Okay. I think well, I
can you said it, yeah, but okay. So you can do it, or.
I thought that you were just gonna go on, and I thought you were reading my notes.
So on top of that, we've got some new Patreon rewards. So all soldiers on our Patreon will now be getting access to bloopers. We may not have them for every episode. I definitely think we might have a few for this one. you will be getting access to bloopers that we have, that things that we have cut out that did not make it into the episode, especially things that may be more humorous. If you like the Jeopardy theme song, you're going to hear me sing it a little bit. Thorn doesn't know that actually right now. Also, Dedicated and Ashaman patrons will now be getting to listen to our pre-show conversation. So Thorn and I get basically together, you know, voice to voice, and we kind of hash these things out, but we also kind of goof off and get loosened up for the actual episode. And there's some shenanigans that take place.
Especially this episode.
Oh my gosh. You know, wrestling fans, I'm looking at you. So definitely dedicated in Ashaman. We hope that's something that you will enjoy. And then the Ashaman specifically, as our third new reward, we'll get to listen to the unedited episode from beginning to end. So in other words, no cuts, no nothing. It'll be much longer episodes than you're probably used to, but you will have access to it. You will be able to listen to all the bloopers will be there, so you'll hear everything naturally. You hear the breakdowns in our progression. You'll hear where we mess up and we cut that out. I mean, you'll get some the bloopers as well, so you'll get the whole thing. So definitely excited about being able to give you guys these new rewards. If you are interested in becoming a patron and you're interested in getting on some of these rewards, some of these goodies, then all you've got to do is just hit us up on the Patreon and become a patron.
Link in the description.
We've got varying tiers. We have the Soldier, Dedicated, and Ashaman tiers, as is befitting the Black Tower. So just look and see what you can commit to throw our way per month, and that will give you access to the rewards and a few other things that we have mentioned and not mentioned here tonight. Now, some of you may know that I made a peculiar, I had a peculiar mistake. Tweet this week. It was not a mistake. Marketing 101 tells me I'm a genius, but I'm about to feel the weight of my genius. I tweeted last week, actually after we recorded our last episode. The tweet says, and I am reading it, as many may know, at Thorn Fireheart, Thorn, and I are the new hosts of At Tower Podcast, which is our Black Tower Podcast Twitter. So to all those followers and to Wheel of Time, it should have been Twitter of Time, I make this offer. I put two eyes in this. Good God, Twitter. Anyone who retweets this will get a shout out on our next episode, which is premiering 5-3, which if you're listening, that is Friday. We're recording this on a Monday, but that is when you'll have access to this episode is Friday. So get the word out. I will read every name.
Hashtag
so Wednesday. I said, yeah, there's hashtag there. But that was for Wheel of Time Wednesday last week. You guys gave it 82 likes and 109 retweets. Not to mention there were some other mentions. So I'm going to go ahead and preface this before we get into this by saying that if I forget your name, if I don't read it, it's probably because the way this app is set up, I have missed it somehow. I apologize in advance if you retweeted in some way and I've overlooked you. Please, please,
we may spread this over a few episodes.
Yeah, we're kind of short on time tonight, so we may have to. So if you don't hear your name tonight, then more than likely we will do some more. We'll tell you. We'll do some more names. Next episode, we may do them for every Fires of Heaven episode, and then because you guys just flooded me with retweets. It's partially Thorn's fault, but
a little
she,
bit.
She kind of whipped you guys into a frenzy. But needless to say,
25.
Was it just the last 25? No,
24, 25.
I think it was sooner than that. Whenever I shared it. Whatever.
You were at 85 when I shared it. No, it wasn't.
Poor soul.
I just decided that I wanted to have some fun with it. I was feeling a little ornery that day.
Is that the word for it, Thorn? Is that the word? Ornery? Is that the word?
Also, I think that's also the day that I made my my Torm.
That disgusting thing. Anyway, so I am just scrolling to the bottom of the list here and just working my way up. And like I said, if you don't get your name tonight, listening over the next couple of episodes, if you don't hear it at all in conjunction with this tweet, please let us know. You can message or tweet at Thorn, at Thorn Fireheart on Twitter, myself at the Dragon Reborn 2. And then, of course, probably the best way would actually be the Black Tower Podcast Twitter account, which is at Tower Podcast. So starting at the bottom, William Almack is number one here. Then the Fall Dara account. Okay, very cool. Holly
Dara 808.
Yep. And may read, so if your handles are substantially different from your names, I will read your handles as well. Holly Battelle. I hope I said your last name right. Papa Brew, got the Fallout guy on his profile picture there. JoJo at JoJo Sadai. Good
totally
calling out.
Did not just make a Twitter to join the Twitter of Time mood, though.
Gallifreyan Trailers at Doctor Who Trailers. Hey, I'm a Doctor Who fan. Well met, friend.
Me too.
And you just said you didn't. We just had a whole conversation about sci-fi. I don't really choose sci-fi. And you're a Doctor Who fan.
We need to have work. I haven't seen anything.
We'll talk later. Next up, Poked by a Pinniped, which is okay, cool. At Luke Thorne, Matt E. I don't know if. Oh, Luke, I'm sorry, Luke Thorne, mate. I'm so sorry, man. These capital letters really throw me off. Zaphod Beeblebrox at not Zaphod 79. You were never the president of the galaxy. Nynaeve Sadai, Braid Tugger, what's going on? Thanks for the shout out. Thanks for the retweet. I'm the one giving you the shout out. I am, y'all, it's late here. Chromulon number 314, which is at Leah
Letton Mackey.
Yeah, Letton Mackey. Okay, cool. Wheel of Time poster at Rogue Elfin. That's the pollster account in the Twitter of Time.
Them.
Very much enjoy the polls. Good work, pollster, and thank you for the retweet. Kyle Malfit at K Malfit. Follow me on here. Follow me on Twitter. That's what his little bio says. It's either Arena or Arena, which is at Geek Yeri, which is geek spelled the normal way, Yeri. Looks like you are a big fantasy fan from your small bio here. Thank you very much for the retweet. Brody Donovan at Brody P. Donovan. Thanks for the retweet. Conan the Cimmerian. Nice. At Conan 7191. Nakomi at Nakomi 14. Looks like that's a fellow Wheel of Time participant. Yep. Melanie at Mel_Sadai. Watt Thoughts. WOT Thoughts at the Watt Duty. Very nice to hear from you guys. And then Curly at Sarah Curly Whirly. Now I have to stop here because Curly, ever since I have started the Randall Thor account, Curly has been like my herald. Like done more work than the all over the place. Just like every time I say something as Rand or whatever, every time I say, you know, I call on more Dragonsworn to follow the account and all this other stuff, she's just right in there, just retweeting and liking and sharing. So awesome stuff. Great to see you on here. Thank you very much for the retweet, and your tweets and interactions on Twitter of Time are not unnoticed, friend.
She interacts with me a lot too.
What's that?
She interacts with me a lot too. Yeah,
But I'm the Dragon Reborn. Come on. I mean,
important.
Come on. Did you not read Wheel of Time? Come on, man. I'm just okay, just kidding. Badali Jewelry, very big thank you. Like, you guys are great.
I love Badali. I actually recently lost my ring, and I'm very sad about it because I had an Aes Sedai ring, and now it's gone. I blame my daughter.
Daggone, I was trying to give you a moment of silence for the ring. You ruined it. Moving right along. Nick Evans at snaven_520. Thank you for the retweet, sir. Jake the Great at Jake C. Melick. Awesome. Master G, what's up? At David Grimm 71. Daniel Chesick at tweet from my seat. Nice handle. Okay. I'm with it. Thank you for the retweet. Kyla M. Johnson, same Twitter handle for that. Thank you very much for the retweet. Austin McCarty, Nice. Thank you very much. Shell Vannon, the Shell Vannon account. What is up, my favorite man from the band of the Red Hand? Good on you, mate. Thank you for the retweet. Nicole, which is at @Nick_the_short_one. We also have Case Scoggin. And if I butcher your last name or your first name or any part of your name, please don't at me. I'm from the South. So at Emerald Trillium, Caroline Brown at Dreaming CK. Great. Thank you for the retweet. AJ Weber 424 at AJ Weber 04. Gabriel, not Gabriel or Gerbil, Gabriel at GSM_Gabriel98. I'm liking these Wheel of Time quotes in the short bios here. Sunny Ray at SunnyRays98. I'm a programmer now at Matthew B. Wright. Now we got to give this guy a big shout out. Alon Mandragoran at Malkier's King. Dude, you put out some great stuff every week on Twitter. We definitely appreciate your contribution. We'd certainly appreciate the retweet. Thank you very much, friend. Yeah. So thank you very much for the retweet. I hope you enjoy your shout out. And Tyshar Manethrin. So
you mean Tyshar Mock here?
I know what I said. So I am kidding. Tyshar Mock here. So Kara Dialface at Mavi_Maroka. Nick Himmelsbach at N1492. Benjamin Phelps at Wink with two Ks _FFBE. Jay Nelson at SteelNelson92, Thauric at Thauric Rekief. Here's another very big one, DragonMount.com. Yes. Such an honor. Such an honor to get the retweet from you guys. Great Wheel of Time community. Been around forever. You know, you guys are a cornerstone. We certainly appreciate that. That is just... you know, my heart is beating in my chest very hard right now because it's awesome. It's so exciting. A girl named Pedro at Bo_Foo. And actually, that makes me think of something real quick. Yes, so she retweeted, but she also quoted and she replied. And I remembered this, so I'm going to go ahead and do this now. So she retweeted and she said, would love if you could give Weaves of the Wheel community on Instagram a shout out, please, at Weaves of the Wheel. Weaves of the Wheel, we see you. We definitely see you. And you guys, thank you so much for the retweet. And we hope you enjoy the shout out. And we hope that our shout out helps you in your endeavor to grow your community. So thank you very, very much for the shout out. Where was I? I got to go back to the list. Big list. How are we on time here, Thorn?
I think we're doing okay.
Okay, well, we'll just keep going. Maybe we can get everybody in tonight. Who knows?
Yeah, because we're going through this pretty fast.
Okay, so here we go. All right, so Julie Brandon at Dr. B99. Hardly at Hardly Any Good. Full-time human being. Feel. Like, I feel it. As the kids today say, mood.
I'm not a kid.
You are compared to me. I'm just kidding.
You're not even 30 yet.
Yet, my wife reminds me every day. You're almost 30. I'm like, shut up. No, stop. So Teodor Zeshev. Sorry if I really screwed up your name. Yeah, that Zeshev at T Zeshev, software developer. Cool. That's awesome. BJ Anderson at Nerd Singer BJ. And BJ is spelled B-E-E-J. So give him a shout out. Looks like he is. He's a singer, songwriter, guitarist, and all-around nerd, and now so, so deeply pissed off. Well, we hope you get happy soon.
Big mood, though.
You're pissed off? Why are you pissed off?
I'm always pissed off.
No, you're not.
I'm raging fire.
So you're Bruce Banner, you're always mad?
Yes.
You didn't see that movie. Don't even act like you know what that reference is for. I caught you. I got you. Got you in a corner. Anyway.
I've heard the name before.
I've heard the name before. So Gary at GJ Gordon, Jenny Rapp at Raptor, R-A-P-P-T-E-R, Crowley at Ask for Ken, Terry Watts at A-Force-12C, William Elam at Bones the B-Co-1, Brandon R at Brandon, spelled a weird way.
Brandon?
Yeah, B-R-A-E-N-D-Y-N. Nice. Robert at King D 1971, Chris Fox at CW Fox 01, Wrathful Zeus, same handle, very nice. Taviran Tees. Hi, yes. Guys. So honored. You. So much. Need to have you guys back on the show because we're new hosts. So, you know, you need to come hang out with us. But yeah. Definitely thank you for the retweet. Very much appreciated. Sam Pollock, Sam Pollock 13. Black Panther 2020, I'd vote for you, at Lakeside Liberal. Cheeseburger in Paradise. Cool. S. Baker 209. Cynthia Naval at C. L. Naval. Michael Warner. Naval? You know what? I'm so screwed up on trying to read names that I don't think I could pronounce, that when I could pronounce something easy, I just muck it up. Michael Warner, at Michael Warner. Zademano?
Yeah, I think that's
Zademano,
right.
Yeah? If not, you can tell me I'm wrong. It's okay. I won't get my feelings hurt. Jason at Red 3 standing by. Star Wars reference, my man. Liette Cohen Shaked at 8, Tiger Lily 8. Good to hear from you. Christian at... Well,
Christy.
You got a lot of numbers in your handle.
Christy3176-9147.
There you go. Thank you, Thorn.
My phone changed colors.
James Johannes at James Al Thor. I see what you did there. Is this?
I think it's Mr. Chevs.
Is it Mr. Chevs? Yeah, Mr. Chevs at GH underscore EVS.
Or it could be, no, it's Mrs.
Is it Mrs. Chevs? It's one of those, but I got the handle out there. So very good to hear from you. Kevin Kreidemeyer at Coach Kret.
I think it's Coach Kret. I think that looks German to me. So it would be Kreidemeyer.
So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I have discovered that while clueless about superheroes, she knows German. So, moving on. My
real last name is German.
Her real last name is German. Let the search for Thorne's true identity begin. So, Reed Marvin, my man. Aspiring Randall Thor actor. Brother, we got to get you on the show. If you're listening to this.
He is very... he gets excited, and I really love that energy that he brings to things.
Well, if he got on the show with us, we would probably like a 3-hour-long show because we all just get into it and talk, which is good. It's good for content. Reed Marvin, yeah. We see you, man. We see your endeavor to become Randall Thor, and
I love his handle, Caught You Reading.
That is so cool. Sorry, this is super clever. Good job, mate. Good job, mate. Thank you very much for the retweet. C underscore C or CC at Carly C Ferguson. I see Vanilla at Abby Binta. Sagittarius with a difference. Darren Vickers at DAR13Vic. I think we have interacted before, sir. Thank you for the retweet. Mogedian at Spider underscore Merrigan. Mogedian, what are you doing here? That is also your art. Yes, it is. Thank you, Mogedian, for the retweet. I know it was probably hard for you to hit the retweet button for Randall Thor, but thank you. Magali Medav at the same handle. Denise at Far Beyond Echoes. Annie E. Clark at... Is that Knits and Chains?
Yeah, Knits and Chains.
Yeah, so it's Knits, spelt the way it sounds, and then A-N-N-E, and then the word Chains. Knits and Chains. Very, very clever. El Poco Loco Sobre Todo. I killed that. That was great. That was awesome. At Poco Sobre. And then Aaron Ayers. This is, in fact, Aaron, former host of the Black Tower. Sir, we see you. Much respect. We salute you. Thank you for your groundwork and your work helping us in the support role now. And thank you very much for the retweet. Hot on his heels is Lord Davron Bashir of High Seat of House Bashir, Lord of Bashir, Tyr and Sidonia. I'm not going to read the rest of it. You're Wheel of Time fans, you know it. At El Bashir, follow him. Matchroom Cotham's Bloody Hat. At Matt Bloody Hat.
That's a great page. That's a great idea for a page. I love it.
Next up is a very controversial figure, Prophet of the Dragon, at Masima Dagar. Prophet, behave yourself. Next is Christopher Klink, at Colonel_CK, Trava Husky, at Travjita3774. I may have to actually open your account to read all of this. W, all about them shark girls brawn.
Brownie, actually.
Brownie, whatever, man. That's my husband. That's your husband?
Yes, that's my husband.
Hey, bro. I'm praying for you, man.
Warlock with one T.
Praying for you, man. Light be with you. Next up, the big woman at J Bristow Smith, DGPL at Papa Falsa, Love Lisa at Mrs_Shuey, Kevin Cosgrave at Kevin Cosgrave, Hi Moraine Damodred, retweeting us. What's up? At MM Moraine, another awesome character account you should all go follow. Audrey at Audori. She says she's a yellow Aja, brown coat, Freeman, Hoovian. We need to be friends.
She's also Nakomi.
Oh, yeah, she is Nakomi. That's right. It's right there. You just need to keep reading, Greg. sorry, I'm just getting these little snippets of stuff. So sometimes I miss things. Ashaman Zupka at MZupka.
I have a lot of fun with him in the White Tower Discord.
He needs to come on over to the Black Tower as well, not instead of. You're in the wrong camp, brother. You got to come hang out with other Ashaman, man. Women of the Wheel at Wheel Women. Respect. Thank you for the retweet. Enjoying the content you guys are putting out. Marcus Jorth. Or is it Hajorth? It's spelled with an H. So it's at Hajorth 1, Hajorth. I don't know if you're supposed to pronounce H or not.
H-A-O-R-T-H.
Anyway, thank you for the retweet. A Blue at Perilla Adela.
I think it's Perilla.
Hey, you know what? I don't know.
I think it's Spanish.
Sure. I'm okay with that. Min Farshaw at Farshaw Min. Very good character account. Lots of interactions between my account and her account. If you've read the series, you know why. Loghain Ablar. What's up, Loghain? Be more active because we all love you. At Loghain_Ablar1. This one says Pastels and Mermaids UWU.
It's ooh.
Whatever. How am I supposed to know if I'm supposed to actually read it or like spell it out? Like I'm always so confused by that. Wow, we're actually almost done. We won't have to actually spread this out over two episodes if you're all still listening. is it Frank Spicer?
I'm gonna go with Spicker.
Spicker? Spicker? At PCC38 Lightning. That's kind of cool. Perrin Abara at Lujan's Forge. Good Perrin Abara account. Very much appreciate the retweet. And then last but not least, Jack of the Shadows at HaydenM_Watt, W-O-T for Wheel of Time. Also, thank you very much to those that mentioned us and replied to this, which is Curly, Icy Vanilla, Darren Vickers. The whole show will be a shout-out. Looking forward to it. Not quite, but close. Girl named Pedro, who got us the shout-out for Weaves of the Wheel, Perrin Abara, Loghain Ablar, of course, our very own Black Tower podcast, Thorn, just getting up in here and causing all kinds of mischief. Wheel of Time pollster, Saldara.
My name and Black Tower weren't on the retweet.
Not on the retweet, they're on the replies. I'm just kind of going over the replies.
Retweet it, though, so it didn't appear.
What do you mean it didn't appear? I'm looking at it right now. Good, I like easy. See, that's when I made the That's What She Said joke. Yes, I went
there.
But
that wasn't a retweet. That was a reply. Also,
I happen to remember this retweet, and I have saved it for last for a special reason. I don't know why it's not showing up, but I happen to remember it because our friend Marta from Discord retweeted, and she said she'd love to hear her last name pronounced. Marta, I can't find that reply. I know that your name...
Just search her.
I still can't find it.
It's... Hold on.
We're already running pretty long anyway. She wants to hear us try to pronounce her name.
Marta, I'm thinking it's Walzik? Walzik?
I'm going to go with what she said. Walzik? Something like that. Am I correct in assuming that's like Polish?
I believe she's Polish.
Okay. I knew she was European. I didn't remember where you were from. Marta, thank you very much for the retweet. Thank you very much for being a very big fixture in the Black Tower Discord community. We appreciate you and all of your interactions with us. And she actually just came through a reading of her own, which was entertaining for the rest of us because she was giving us live updates in the spoiler channel in the Discord, and it was fantastic. So, but that's all the names I've got. If I have left any off, please let me know, and I will hit you guys up on the next episode. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Tower Podcast. You can email us at blacktowerpod@gmail.com. Also hit us up on the Discord and the Patreon, especially now that we have new goodies. And I think that's all we've got tonight. So a little bit longer episode, but lots of shenanigans tonight. So with that being said, I'm Greg.
And I'm Thorn.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.